FNC. On Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media Station. ESPN.
ESPN.
97.5.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's Thursday on The Usual Suspects, all present and accounted for and ready to go. We know the matchup, we know who the Astros are playing, and so do you. So we can talk about that and a whole lot of other things as we have you for the next 3 hours. Fellas, what is going on?
What's happening,
What's
sir?
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Hey.
Boy, Nick, that was very proper of you today.
Yes.
Hello, everybody.
What
Hi.
Is going on, guys?
Normally
How are
I
you?
Say what to do.
Yeah. Do you what you do. You want that on the back of a t-shirt someday? Say it more frequently.
What it do.
Thank you.
I like that. Why the sudden change? You trying to turn over a new leaf? Talk proper?
Not really.
Hello?
Straight as the visor on
why,
that hat?
Why talking proper means you have to talk in that accent?
I don't know, because the Brits talk proper.
More proper than us,
oh,
I would say.
Way more proper than us.
I feel like they can get raunchy.
Well, they get raunchy, but even when Brits get raunchy, it's still proper.
What's your definition of like raunchy,
if they Nick? If a Brit talks dirty, it's like, hello, good lady, I would like to take down your drawers and do some dirty things to you, if that would be all right. Like, they still...
Tell you what, if you want my version of the British accent, it would be... I'm Peppa Pig.
Oh no!
See, because from my buddy with the 409 area code, because you know my wife's pregnant and I've got kids. That's the British
Jesus,
accent that I deal with.
For a minute in, he's already shooting shots at listeners.
It's not like we great. Haven't done that before,
right?
Is it that shocking?
I got my order in last night, fellas. Very happy to say I ordered. No. I ordered $40 worth of pizza from Papa John's.
Good for you.
Attaboy.
Got my order in.
I didn't order that
it
much.
It was $50 total because I tipped $10
to the promo code?
To the deliver. I did.
Nice.
So I got home, Nora and I, we've been using this food delivery service that like you they send you food and then the recipe and then you make it, right? So we've been using that. And but I wanted to support. We wanted to do our part again. So I was like, well, you know what? Since they extended it, I'm going to go ahead and order pizza again. So I ordered and I like it was $40 and people were like, what the hell did you order? So I got like a medium pizza, bacon, pepperoni, onion.
Oh, wow.
Ordered an order of wings. And then I got breadsticks because it's Papa John's. You got to get the breadsticks. And then I got garlic knots. And then a bunch of like garlic butter and cheese dipping sauce.
Garlic knots?
Oh, they're legit good. Yeah.
Really?
So, yeah. And then so that was all like $40. 2 hours it took to be delivered.
Did you anticipate that going in? Like you planned
that? Oh, yeah, totally. Okay. I as soon as I got home, I ordered because I was like, you know, if we can eat before 8 o'clock, I'll be good. And yeah, and it was, it got the, I think I ordered about 5:30 and it arrived about 7:45 and I was very happy to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And then the delivery driver, I gave him a little extra. Normally, I'll tip like $5 when I get a pizza.
Yep.
But I know, based on how we did the show yesterday, how stressful it's been for everybody at Papa John's because of all the orders. So I gave him $10. I had to do a little extra because I was like, you've been busy.
Cash?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Always cash.
That is the key. And we did it for Taylor's Pizza, and the first thing I asked him too was, is it better for me to give you cash or put it on the receipt? And he goes, actually, now when you put it on the receipt, they make us get it off of a cash card transfer it to our bank account. Yes. And we have to go through several different hoops. Plus, a lot of times we have to share it with other drivers. Say no more. Here's your cash.
Right. Here's your cash. Yep. So I shouldn't have tipped him, though.
Uh-oh.
Because comes up to the door. I open the door. He hands me my pizza or he hands me the receipt. I don't like doing that first. I want to see because I've had problems in the past where I've had to boycott Papa John's because they've forgotten like all my dipping sauces and you pay for them. And I don't know that anything angers me more than not getting all the dipping sauces because, you know, my inner fat kid. But So I signed the receipt and I gave it to him. And then I took the pizza. I was like, well, let me just check before you leave, you know, and I wanted to make sure. And then I didn't give him this tip yet. So I went back and I put everything on the counter and I looked, and like, because we ordered a lot of stuff, obviously. So I checked and everything was cool. So I walked back and I was like, here you go, man. And I'm handing him the $10. He goes, he said, I thought I recognized you. And I went, what? And he goes, when you answered the door, I was like, this guy looks familiar. And then I looked at the receipt and saw your name. And I was like, okay. Yeah. He's like, yeah, man, I listen to the Blitz. And I was like, all right, you know what?
Oh, wow.
You bastard.
You owe me money, sir.
I wanted to snatch that $10 tip out of his head. Get out of here. But he said, apparently he listens to the station, but he listens to the Blitz, which I told Nora, she started laughing. She was like, that has to piss you off. I was like, well, the fact that he listens to the station, I'm happy. But the fact that he didn't just say, oh, yeah, you know, I listen to the station. He goes, no, I listen to the Blitz, which I get it because he's, you know, he probably delivers
at night and around that time. Yeah.
So I wasn't too upset, but I thought, boy, what a gut punch. I can't get away from those a-holes for nothing.
So it's Nick, me, and Fred till 4. I'm trying to get Keith on from Papa John's as well.
That would be great.
Trying to track him down because of all the good that he's done with everything that they are doing this week for Deputy Dollywall. So that would be great.
Also, something else happened, and I know we're going to get to the games last night, the game last mm-hmm. night, and the matchups and all that. But you know. A while back when we first started doing the show, remember that when I got added, I was getting emails from dating websites? Remember that?
Yeah.
And we couldn't figure out what the hell was going on. Well, a lot of that has subsided until October 1st. On October 1st, I got an email from Alice. And we'll just leave it at Alice, right? And Alice is in a sorority. And I believe Alice is probably, I think these are all old women, but there's about 15 to 20 women on this email chain.
An old women's sorority?
Yeah. Like, I think they're all old sorority sisters, right?
Is it called Wonderland?
No, it says, good afternoon, ladies. This is the email. Now, I'm on this chain, but it says, good afternoon, ladies. First of all, I've attached the recent president's letter. Please read carefully if you're an officer. Next, as I mentioned at our last meeting, I'm unable to represent our chapter at the state fall conference for districts 4, 5, and 6. That weekend, I have plans. And then it's just this long-ass email talking about the chapter. And then it basically says, look, if we're not going to go, we should at least send cookies. I was like, why am I on this? I have no idea why I'm on this. So I said, look, I don't know. I just emailed Alice. And I said, I don't know why I'm included on this, but I'm guessing you have the wrong Laminac. Thanks. Barry Laminac. No one takes me off of it. So then I get an email from Jill. She's like, hey, everyone, thanks for the update. Alice, I'm unable to attend, but I'll pitch in some money on the cookies. I was like, all right. So then that was a reply to all. So I reply all. To all 15.
Well, you went all gal media on them.
Yeah, I said, I don't know why I'm on this email chain, but y'all have the wrong Laminac. Please remove me. Thanks, Barry Laminac. That was October 2nd at 4 o'clock. October 2nd at 4:39. I'm unable to attend Saturday, but I've certainly helped Jill out with the six dozen cookies. Just let me know. Hey, Jill, I would be happy to split the cost with you, Deb. So now I'm still getting these emails. And last night at 1:48, Deb is the one that sent the one about, Jill, I'll split the cost with you. And now I'm pissed.
Because, did you go to some gardening conference and give away your email?
I'm like, why am I getting all these emails? So finally I was like, you know what? I asked to be removed. I was very nice and polite. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. Reply all. This is from me to all these women.
Oh, boy.
As long as we don't let Debbie make the cookies. I thought she tried to poison us last time she cooked for us. Just awful. And Judy, are you sure you can afford it? What with you dealing with all that personal stuff like you are?
You're just randomly throwing it on the wall.
Also, just between us gals, I am so over Alice. She's the chapter president. Yeah. I said, I am so over Alice. She thinks she's so much better than the rest of us. Get over yourself already, right, ladies? So then, as if that wasn't a deterrent, They responded again at 12 o'clock today. I am certainly happy to share in the cost of the cookies also. From Jane. And Jane at the bottom of her email says, sent from my Sprint Samsung Galaxy S8 Plus. And I'm like, well, I guess we're just going to keep doing this. So I just responded, quote, Jane, you're still using Sprint, so we know you can't afford to help out. It's okay.
My God.
And I'm just going to do this as long
you
as
you wonder why your neighborhood Facebook page hates you.
And I'm just going to keep doing this as long as they keep replying all. I'm just going to keep the next person that responds. I'm going to be like, you know, Jane was sleeping with your husband, right? Like, I'm just going to start. It's just on.
I thought you would be afraid considering now they all know your email address.
So they know it anyways.
He knows all of theirs.
Yeah,
too.
I
mean, you're just so protective about your stuff. I figured you would never do that, but it's funny. It's funny for sure.
But I don't care. Like, what are they going to do?
No, probably
it's a
nothing.
Bunch of old sorority ladies from Oregon.
They probably couldn't send you a virus even if they wanted to, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's his next move. He's going to say that the virus is spreading thanks to Jane.
That's what I'm going to say. Yeah. I was going to just pick a random name and be like, by the way, Cheryl has herpes. So just so we're all clear, ladies, don't let her near your husband. Oh, yeah. I'm just going to start picking them off one by one, just having mean things to say.
You don't know how they got your email?
No clue.
Come on. There was a gardening conference.
Nope. No clue how I ended up in this email chain, but I did, and so we're
grooming
all...
Grooming and hygiene? You did a show for elderly people that also were very deeply involved in other things?
I don't know what this is about, but it's from, like, Oregon or something like that. I don't know. It's like the Oregon sororities, and they have this whole stupid thing. I don't know. I ended up spending way too much time looking into it until I was just like, all right, I'm just going to start shooting shots at all these old ladies. Just whatever. It doesn't matter.
Tell them they can reach you at Barry Sorority.
So now I'm just having fun with it. I'm just going to see how long they will let this go.
Well, that's my question.
Until they stop replying all to me.
Shouldn't they have already responded with some of yours? Someone should have just lashed out in defense of something or somebody.
I would have thought so. I mean, the fact that I send all that and like I'm so over Alice, and they just kept responding. So I'm like, okay. Guess we're doing this until this wears itself out.
Wow.
It's fun for me, though.
Well, there's more updates. Yeah. We're gonna need updates on that, hopefully before the end of the show. Congratulations, by the way, to Josh Reddick and his wife, Maverick Joshua Reddick, 6 pounds, 19 and a quarter inches, and Ryder Blaze Reddick, 5 pounds, 10 ounces, 19 inches. He is very, very happy, needless to say. Happy birthday to the twins as they are.
I only know one other dude named Ryder. He's a comedian that, I don't know where he moved. His name was Ryder Paramore.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that I know any Ryder. I know Winona Ryder.
Yeah, but the first name, Ryder. Ryder. So his name is Ryder Blaze? That's a pretty badass name,
Ryder Blaze Reddick. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a pretty cool ass name.
Maverick Joshua Reddick.
Okay.
I would have named him Mav and Goose.
See.
Then he would have had his own Top Gun.
I would have never done that to those kids.
Well, Maverick. Okay, never mind. We'll continue to roll on. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That's the HR&P Listener line. You can call that number. Text that number. Hit us on Twitter, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is funny. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Just getting started on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the Gal Media Studios. Last show for the week, fellas, as we are being preempted by playoff baseball, the national ESPN feed of a certain game between a certain very popular hometown baseball team and the Tampa Bay Rays.
Are we not allowed to say?
I don't know. I mean, in my previous life, I knew that if you were doing something like this, that the home team that wants you to listen elsewhere is normally very sensitive to those things.
But we're carrying the game, so we can talk about the
Astros Rays, ESPN 97.5, 1 o'clock tomorrow. Tune on in.
Yeah, it's our. I mean, we're carrying the national game between the Houston Astros
hopefully
and the
you
Tampa
get
Bay Rays.
Shambi.
Oh, I love Boob.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's also really great because I think he started it where he does a PSA where every time right before the playoff starter he does an ESPN game, he'll tweet out and go, hey, this is just your friendly PSA to let you all know that I will be doing the game with so-and-so and so-and-so tomorrow night. And just so that we're clear, we don't hate your favorite team. So when you start tweeting us, texting us, and telling us how brutal we are because of how hateful we've been to your teams, understand you're wrong and we don't hate your team. We're just doing our job, nice. Which is fantastic. And if Joe Buck and Troy Aikman ever did that, I'd crap all over them. But other than that...
True.
Yeah.
Did you watch last night?
I did. And... right from the get-go, I thought, well, here we go with a replay of the Brewers game the night before.
Mm.
Boy, again, this is like Oakland's thing. You saw the stat in do-or-die games.
Yes.
They are the worst team in the history of baseball since, what, like 1998 or something like that?
Yes.
They've lost every one of them. And Charlie Morton now has become the first pitcher ever to win three...
Elimination.
Winner-take-all
games.
Big time.
It went exactly the opposite of what I thought would have happened. Now, I'm glad to see that the Rays jumped out to an early lead because I feel like if they would have been down 5-1, then it for sure would have been over. But I felt like Oakland had enough firepower to be able to come back, but they just couldn't put anything together. And, you know, you heard a lot on the broadcast last night where they talked about the Rays playing the matchup game and eliminating a lot of stuff. But I tell you what, two things that surprised me. One is the power that the Rays showed, all of their runs. I mean, hitting that many, what is it, four home runs? Basically, all their runs came off of home runs. Mm-hmm. And they were, I tweeted it out, the stats, but they were one of the, they were at the bottom, like fifth of the league in home runs. And the A's were at the top. And this was a complete opposite.
Right.
And I think they even said that on the broadcast, where it was like, no one saw this coming. No one saw the Rays being the team that to have the power explosion. And, you know, I mean, certainly you knew that they could pitch. Yes. But to have Diaz, who hadn't played since
That's
July 22nd.
Is he going to be able to maintain that momentum? Because I believe he had three home runs. Is he going to be able to do
that
against
the Astros?
He had two
home runs. Yeah, he's a big dude. He's their Yordan Alvarez
in
a lot of ways.
He's an X factor for sure.
Yeah, he is definitely their Yordan Alvarez.
Because you remember they had the big other first baseman, the... that was hitting leadoff against the Astros the last time, the Asian kid, and they took him out of the lineup last night.
Oh, yeah.
So this is,
I mean, I remember, I forget where I was going, but I was listening to the MLB feed on XM satellite, and they were talking about Diaz, and I forget who it was, but one of their guys was like, I really want to see Yandy Diaz in the lineup. He did play in the last game of the season, I think he went 0-3 or something like that. But they were like, this dude is just ridiculously strong and ridiculously talented at the plate as far as a power hitter goes.
Did they say he was with the Indians previously?
Because
one of the stories was he
was
with the scouting department and everybody
in 2017 or 2018
thought they could really turn this kid even more in the right direction if they got a hold of him.
Yeah, 2017, 2018, he was with the Indians. Didn't play a lot. Had less than 150 at-bats the first year and then 100 at-bats the second year. But so not a lot, but had 300 at-bats this year, 14 home runs, hit .267. But he showed last night that when he, you know, again, when he's kind of a feast or famine guy, but that dude...
He was feasting last night. He was eating well.
And to lead him off made... Kevin Cash looked like a genius.
That's the thing, and Kevin Cash didn't take enough credit for it, but they said this was his vision. This is what he saw all along that he wanted to face Manaea. And, I mean, if the guy got a hit or two, you'd say it worked. But to get two bombs and a single,
yeah.
It really worked.
Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Fun game. Charlie Morton dealing.
Got
no
out of a
runs.
Huge jam. Yep. Several jams, but that one in the first inning could have been disastrous.
Yeah. And the one run that they got was unearned. So literally that entire pitching staff didn't give up an earned run in the game.
That was a tough play because of the fact that you just took a guy that was playing middle infield, put him in third base, and then it was just basically because of how huge that ballpark was, you know, an error on the third baseman turned into a triple essentially by Simeon, and he scored. But other than that, man, you got to say everything fell in place for them. Their bullpen, which is what we've been talking about, hey, this is why they did openers for the longest time before they got some decent starters. These guys can go in the bullpen, and they bring it at a very high rate. I saw some graphic that said that of the fastballs thrown last night by all of the Tampa pitchers, every one of them was like between 95 and 100.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and Charlie Morton was Charlie Morton, ever since the Astros, was popping at the high end.
Hit 98, curveball was working. That was a fun game to watch. And I think the Astros and Astros fans kind of got what they wanted. I don't think anybody wanted to face the A's. But
from a familiarity standpoint, for sure.
Now you got to deal with the Tampa Bay Rays. And Brian McTaggart sent a tweet out last night where it said, Verlander, Cole, and Greinke versus the Rays this year, they had a combined 1.69 ERA.
Nice.
So that makes you feel good about that. And, Christmas is on the horizon. And if you want to feel good about Christmas, you know what you got to do. You got to take care of the wife. You got to get her some jewelry. And there's no better place in this entire city of Houston to get that jewelry for your wife or your significant other or your loved one than Klein's Fine Jewelry. Y'all, Klein made me a hero in my house. My wife was begging me to upgrade her ring. He made that happen. I haven't had to buy a gift for her in over a year now. Klein, Mark Klein from Klein's Fine Jewelry is here. Mark, how can you help the people like you helped me?
Well, I made you a hero, huh?
You did.
Well, that's better than being a zero. Good. You know, if you need a diamond, if you're looking out there, you're like, I don't want to go to the mall. I don't want to go to a high price sale. I don't know where to go. I've been doing this since 1990. Obviously, I do something right. I mean, every single time a customer comes in, a guy asked me today, I said, we're small. We don't have huge overhead. So he goes, you do custom work. We do custom work. We take old jewelry that's just sitting in the box, and we make something new for her. So that's one of our specialties. We also carry diamond earrings, diamond bracelets, diamond pendants. And what I told the customer today is, like, it's going to be less expensive here because I have less overhead. I have a small place. And obviously, I'm doing it right because I've been doing it for so long. But it's less expensive than anywhere else in the city. So if you're looking for anything in diamonds, diamond pendant, jewelry, bracelet, you want a pre-owned Rolex, we do that. So anything that you want in jewelry, you got to give us a call at 832-316-1388. 832-316-1388. That's my cell phone. You can text me on it, or you can check out KleinsJewelry.com. We're located at 5868 Westheimer, which is at Fountain View in Westheimer. Give us a call, 832-316-1388, or check out KleinsJewelry.com.
He made me a hero. He's going to do the same for you. I promise you that. Don't be silly, y'all. Go hit up Mark Klein at Klein's Fine Jewelry. Mark, we appreciate it, bud.
Thanks.
All right, we'll be back right after this. ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. So as we were talking about last segment, we now know it's going to be the Astros and the Rays in a best of five starting tomorrow at Minute Maid Park. You can hear everything right here on ESPN 97.5 as the three of us will be at the Juice Box to check out game one of the series. And with that, the pitching matchups have been announced. Tyler Glasnow versus Justin Verlander in game one. Blake Snell, the reigning Cy Young Award winner from last year, against Garrett Cole. And then back in Tampa on Monday, it will be Charlie Morton and Zach Greinke.
Yep.
Good matchups. Actually,
I like it. I like
really
it.
Good on paper matchups just from name recognition and bodies of work for some of these pitchers. again, this is something the Rays didn't have in the past, but you know, you're gonna, it'd be interesting to see what Charlie Morton you get. But good matchups that should still obviously be heavily weighed in the Astros' favor.
Indeed, and you know, Tyler Glasnow, what, he's a pretty young cat. Mm-hmm. I was trying to look up his splits. 2016 is when he came into the league, and he's bounced around a little bit. I'd be interested to see it, because you think about it, this, while the wild card game is a blessing, it can also be a curse.
Yeah.
Especially if you win, because now Charlie Morton can't actually pitch until that third game of a five-game series. They could be, and they played the Rays played the Astros really tough in Tampa Bay. The Astros have always struggled in Tampa.
First week of the season.
But the Astros seem to always struggle on the road in Tampa. So
it's too quiet.
The problem is, the problem is now is that Tampa's going back down 2-0 most likely. And now you got to face Zach Greinke, and you're finally getting your ace on the mound. And that's the concern, and that's the curse of the wild card.
Or for the Nats, you not only blew through Scherzer, but then you use Strasburg. So now, even though Strasburg, they're going to try and bring him back because he didn't throw that much, he still threw enough and got warmed all the way up so that when he did come into the game, he had his best stuff, which he did. But that now plays a factor in what kind of Strasburg you get when he pitches for the first time as a starter.
Yeah.
So you're right. That's why, you know, and again, I always say the wild card, the do or die situation in that format is exciting. But I think when you play 162 games and you qualify for the playoffs and you're one and done, I think that's a harsh reality. I always said a best of three would be great. But again, it's still, you'd still be burning through pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, you still have, that's the problem. And I don't know that Blake Snell has ever pitched in a playoff game, has he?
I don't think so, because they were saying that.
So you got two kids that have never pitched in a playoff game that have to go out on the road and face the two guys that are probably, one of them is going to win the Cy Young and the other one should have, in Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole. I tell you what, if the Astros don't go back to Tampa up 0-2, they're in trouble. Because, damn, this is stacked up to be just a no-brainer that the Astros, you know, just waltz into the ALCS. But these Rays are scrappy, man. They're not going to go quietly. Baseball. Here's what's funny is I took a quick video of the Rays running on the field, and I put dead men walking and tweeted it. Do you know how many people got upset about that? They were like, oh, be careful. These Rays are dangerous. It's just a damn joke. It's just me rooting for my team. What's so wrong about that?
That takes us back to earlier in the week. When do you talk crap about the team you're going to face, or do you just leave it alone?
But the Rays are scrappy. I mean, look.
But here's the thing. It's playoff baseball. No matter who you face, you're looking for a cakewalk. You're hoping for a sweep and the easiest opponent possible. But these are teams that were good enough after 162 games to qualify. They're all going to be pretty good teams.
Oh, yeah.
So you feel bad for teams that did all that for a one-game playoff and lost, especially when you've done it multiple times like the A's. But when you look at it, nobody you faced was going to roll over and just let you walk on them for three straight wins.
Yeah.
And the Rays have, like we said, their pitching staff is their positives. Their lineup has a little something to be desired, though they added a little pop. You know how much that's going to last for this series with what we saw last night. But overall, advantage in both categories to your Houston Astros.
No doubt. And I think the one thing that you look at and say, this might be actually the one game where the Rays have a huge advantage is that first game in Tampa, Charlie Morton versus Zach Greinke. Don't get me wrong, Zach Greinke's a stud. We all know that. Playoff-wise, I think he's got like a 450 ERA. Hasn't done great in the playoffs. It'll be on the road. And I think if there was a guy that you looked at this lineup or looked at it of the big three in this rotation and thought he might be a guy that gets out-dueled, and if it were on the road against a guy like Charlie Morton, it would be Zach Greinke.
I would agree. Totally.
So totally comprehensible that this is a 2-1 game going into game four, or 2-1 series going into game four.
And you know what? The fan base knows it too, because they're saying, hey, based on the fact that when these matchups came out, smart Astros fans looked at it, and some of the first ones to see it said, Zach Greinke better pitch his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that that's the game that everybody's looking at. Now, it was the first series, first week of the season when they faced these Rays early on, and a lot has changed for both teams. But what hasn't changed is, like you said, the ERA for your two best pitchers was still really, really minute. Yeah. That's what you hope continues, especially at home where these guys are comfortable. The only thing is, Verlander has a tendency to give up cheapy home runs in left field. When
well, that's how you're going to. I think it was Doug Glanville that was breaking it down. He said the Astros are by far and away the favorite in this series, and the one area where the Rays can excel and beat the Astros is you got to hit the long ball, because the Astros pitching staff, especially Justin Verlander, and you're probably going to see him twice in a 5-game series. If it goes 5 games, he is susceptible to the home run ball. So that's where you try to take advantage of it. They had 4 home runs last night. They used the power game to win. That's going to be the key to, you know, beating the Astros. And look, I'm just looking at Zach Greinke's game this year. He had 1 game against the Rays, 7.94 ERA. Went 5 2/3 innings, gave up 5 earned runs. But when you combine all three of them with that 1.64 ERA versus the Rays this year, it tells you that game three, watch out, because that's probably a game
trap game for them, and absolutely, they got to be careful. So,
which is scary, Joel, because now you think about it, game four becomes who you're running out there, and
we've
against
been talking
who.
About that for a long
and
time.
And against who? Is it Miley or Urquidy? And who are you facing? Because that Rays pitching staff, too, if they decide to go with an opener, and now you got to face a Rays bullpen that's really, really stingy, and they play the matchup game, and they're very, they have a tendency to be able to limit a lineup, that could be – it's not out of the realm of possibility that the Astros have to go 5 games against the Tampa Bay Rays team.
No, and so this is the thing, too. When you look at, like, in the process of what we're heading towards, key checkpoints. First thing's going to be when they announce that playoff roster, because that's going to tell you a lot. And if Wade Miley is on that playoff roster for the first 5-game series, then you know that he's probably in their plans one way or another.
Yeah.
And then from that, it's going to be, what's the situation when you head into game four? And if they're in a position of power, do they trust Wade Miley?
Mm.
Or do they go, I just can't. I can't do it.
A game four, you're on the road, you got a little momentum. I wonder what Miley did. Did he face the Rays this year? Let me see what Wade Miley did if he played the Rays this year. But that's...
I'm sorry.
I'll look it up at the break. I'm with you. I
gave him several opportunities during the course of the regular season, and especially in September. I gave him opportunities to redeem himself, and I kept saying, come on, man, find it. Get back on track. You're going to be fine. But just based on all those starts in September, the ERA that was over 22, everything that was happening, I was like, no, I'm sorry. This one game in a 5-game series can be a huge difference maker, and I'm not willing to take that risk.
Well, you're probably going to see Yonny Chirinos from the Rays. I mean, these are guys that have a couple of big wins. They're not starters necessarily, but they're guys that can go extended. They both have 11. Yarbrough has 11 wins. Chirinos has 9 wins, a 3.85 ERA. They're listed as relief pitchers, but you know how Tampa, that doesn't really matter.
No.
So, I mean, that might be your four starters.
And one thing
Cash
has shown you, last night he did it specifically, he's not afraid to make changes pitching or otherwise position players in the first 2-3 innings. He does not care.
Oh, no.
It's all about what his end result and his end game is, not what yours is.
There are a few franchises right now in baseball that use analytics and intelligence at a very high level. And people will tell you that around baseball, the Astros are the number one organization when it comes to intelligence and analytics and implementing those in games. But the Tampa Bay Rays are up there among the best of them. That's how they've been able to do what they do. That's how they've been able to in that division with the Red Sox and the Yankees. I mean, look, last year, Nora was asking me, she's like, who are the Rays? I don't think I've ever heard of them. I was like, look, if the Rays were in the NL last year, they were in the playoffs. That's how good this team is. So don't sleep on them because they know how to manage games. They know how to play games, and they play in a tough division. And
yeah,
so,
don't think that they did you a favor by eliminating the A's,
right?
Just so that they could get lay down and get swept.
So
they're going to be tough.
Oh yeah. So Wade Miley lost his one game against the Rays this year. He went 6 innings, gave up 8 hits, 3 earned runs.
So it was a quality start
and a home run. So
different squad than you're facing back then,
but a different Wade Miley too.
Good point. I was going to say that either way.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I want to tell you about GetUpside, man. If you're not using GetUpside, you're crazy. You're wasting money. You're leaving money at the table. You're leaving money at the pump. Go download it right now. Put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, because that's going to get you extra savings on your first fill up through the GetUpside app. You get cash back when you fill up through the GetUpside app. You get cash back when you buy food through the GetUpside app. And it's so simple. There's a map in the app. I didn't mean to rhyme there, but there's a map in the app where you look around, you say, all right, where's the gas stations in my area where I can get cash back? Then you find the deal you want and you claim it. And the same is true for food. And it's so easy to use and it's so simple and it's just you getting cash back. And it works. ABC 13 did an article on it. Listeners have been texting me. Jason Hebert was saying he's got $70 in his account because he takes advantage of the Refer a Friend program. There's so many different ways to get cash back using GetUpside. I want you guys to take advantage of that right now. Do yourself a favor, man. If you love money and you love hanging on to your money, go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number one, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be in Houston. Our last show of the week, because Astros baseball on the ESPN feed will be right here on ESPN 97.5 tomorrow for game one of the series that we were just talking about between the Houston Astros and the Tampa Bay Rays. All matchups now set, and tonight we will have two games as the playoffs get underway. Dodgers hosting the Nats, and Walker Buehler gets the start in game one, not Clayton Kershaw. Little bit of intrigue there.
Yeah, I wonder, did they give a reason behind that? Was there a...
They're going to soft sell it because obviously Buehler's been really good for his first 2 years in the league. But much like we were talking about with Max Scherzer the other night, Kershaw, for as dominant as he has been in the regular season, he's had some struggles in the playoffs.
You think that's why, though? I mean, do you still not just ride or die with him?
I think it's different if you're Verlander because...
Verlander's had success.
Because he's had success
in the playoffs. He's had some struggles, right. But he's had success.
Right. So I think
I didn't mean to cut you off, but it's funny that we sit here and talk about struggles in the playoffs. You realize you're facing the best of the best. You're facing one of the four best teams in your league, American League or National League. So it's not like you're just facing the Baltimore Orioles in the playoffs. You're facing some of the best lineups and some of the best pitching. So, yeah, it does get a lot more difficult to perform.
No doubt about it. But at the same time, when you're looking at it from a Dodgers perspective, you're looking – because it's a short series, and anything can happen. And, you know, I heard Fred going kind of covering this yesterday, but I could see Astros fans just getting pissed off because they're like, are you trying to say they're going to lose? Are you jinxing them? Are you whatever? No. Realists say – if it's a five-game series, you could be the best team in baseball. You could, and all these three teams that have won 100 games. Sure, if you're just going to take the favorites and you just say these teams are supposed to win, easy to do. Seven-game series, truth serums come out a lot easier, right? Mm-hmm. And those things normally play out. But in a short series, you slip up and drop one at home that you weren't supposed to drop, and then you get into a predicament like we were talking about when you go back to Tampa and you're worried about who he's starting in game four. Are you bringing your guys back on short rest? Your pitching staff has a little more stress to it. It adds to a lot of the details, and little things become big things. So you want to take care of business. From a Dodgers perspective, if they feel like this kid's been rolling, and this is why, this is one of the reasons why we've been as dominant as we've been, I'm going to put that kid on the mound, and it's going to be at home, which is key.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, we'll see how it goes, but I don't disagree with what the Dodgers decided
to do. It's interesting that I didn't go with Ryu, because when you have – whoever you start in game one, Ryu. How the hell? Ryu. There's three different weapons.
I've always heard it.
Baseball Reference will have how you actually say it, but I've heard Ryu as well and Ryu. Whoever you start in game one is who you're going to start in game five, just based off of the way that the schedules are made.
Right.
So we know in this Rays Astros series that Justin Verlander is the game five starter. So we talked about, look, the Astros could go on the road and drop two. This could go five against the Rays, but that's still advantage Astros because you come back home and you got a young kid for the Rays facing Justin Verlander in an elimination game. I like the Astros' chances. Flip side, though, when you're the Dodgers, don't get me wrong, Buehler has been great this year. He absolutely has.
Yeah.
But Ryu has been great as well. I'm not so sure that I wouldn't have started him first, gone Buehler second, and then Kershaw third.
So
or
according
flip
to
it.
Dave Roberts in his press conference, he basically said, we made that decision regardless of the outcome of last night. All three guys are on board with the decision we made. Mm. And then he was quick to not let anybody know if it's going to be Ryu or Kershaw in game two. Now, one of the things that I would say is from an experience standpoint alone, of the three guys, Kershaw has the most experience. So having him be prepared for a cross-country flight and a game on the road better suits a guy like Clayton Kershaw than the other two younger, less experienced guys.
So I'm on Baseball Reference. Hee-Yoon Jin Ryu, R-E-E-Y-O-O. So Ryu. Okay. That's weird. I would have thought it was Ryu as well, just because of the video game Street Fighter, right? They had Ryu. Yeah, well,
and Lisa's Ken brother and Mike is a diehard Dodgers fan.
And he says Ryu.
And I believe he says Ryu, yeah.
Baseball Reference, Ryu. But, yeah, so I'm looking at the Dodgers stats, right? Mm-hmm. Who do you think has the lowest ERA of the three? Ryu does.
Okay.
2.32 ERA, right?
He had
right?
a great year, absolutely.
Yeah. Who do you think has the most or the least amount of quality starts? Buehler does.
Really? I think Kershaw.
Kershaw and Ryu both have 22 quality starts. Buehler had 17.
Didn't Kershaw start the year hurt? They kind of brought him along slow?
Yeah, he has the least amount of innings pitched. He's 28 games started versus 29 and 30 for Ryu and Buehler. But the numbers kind of lead you to believe that Ryu is the ace of the staff, and he kind of was all year. Now, I don't know if he's banged up or injured, or maybe that had something to do with it.
Buehler pitched really well last year.
Buehler pitched well, too, right. But also, he's not going on short rest. The last time Ryu pitched, it would have been his normal 4 days of rest to pitch this opening game. Little bit of a head-scratcher for me, but let's be real. It'd be like arguing between Verlander and Cole and Zach Greinke starting game one. These are all studs. These are all guys, bona fide, legitimate aces. When we talked earlier in the year, once the Astros got Zach Greinke, we talked about pitching staffs and who has a better one than the Astros. And I mentioned, hey, the Dodgers are up there, and it's because of these three guys.
Yeah.
So,
but here's the thing. So
can't really go wrong.
ESPN Plus did this whole thing on the most important pitcher on each staff going into the playoffs in terms of for their team's success.
Mm-hmm.
For the Dodgers, it was Clayton Kershaw. And they said, look, through three quarters of the season, going into the start on August 14th, he was cruising. I mean, he had a 2.63 ERA, 3.7 WAR, seventh in the National League. And then whether they say it was the Dodgers didn't have much to play for or he just ran out of gas, the rest of the way he had a 4.46 ERA, gave up 13 home runs in his last seven starts, and that started giving the Dodgers cause for concern. So you need to see all of that, take that into consideration. And like I said, look at the playoffs where he just hasn't been
Kershaw?
Stellar. Yeah.
Post All-Star, I'm on the ESPN stat page. Pre-All-Star game, he has a 3.09 ERA. Post All-Star, a 2.95.
Because they're saying from August 14th on.
Oh, okay.
That's where he really slipped. So that's why it's a concern. Now, if you look at the two pitchers in the Astros-Tampa series, from what we just talked about, you would think it's going to be whoever's that game four starter, whether it be your Keady or whether it be Wade Miley. They said Zach Greinke.
Well, I kind of believe that because we just talked about game three. Is a pivotal game in that series because if you lose game three, if you're the Astros and you're up 2-0, now you don't know you've got an unproven guy and going against that Rays team on the road. You got Urquidy. You're not sure about Miley's scuffled, and I gave you the kid's name, Trino.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty good at home too. So that's why I think that game three with Zach Greinke against Charlie Morton is so pivotal. I think they're right in that regard.
You know what? And you know what? Since you said that and I was looking at this, it's exactly the way they were thinking about it, too, because they said, look, if the Astros and Verlander and Cole take care of business and win the first two games at home, you're going to leave it up to Greinke to shut the door. While we've seen pitchers go to the Astros and get better, Greinke has remained the same, throwing his changeup and slider just a little bit more, giving up a few more fly balls. But the strikeouts, walks, homers, and homers and runs have all been the same, which is not what they've expected. And like you said, if he doesn't shut the door, now you're looking at a possible five-game series based on what you're going to start in game four.
And Yonny Chirinos at home this year, 5-2 with a 3.10 ERA. It's not going to be easy if they get to game four.
But the key,
so now you're going to run Urquidy out, or you're going to run somebody
someone
like
on short
to have to face a guy like Chirinos at home. It's going to be difficult.
Tampa Bay, though, Tyler Glasnow, because they said the fact that because you used Morton and used him up with so many pitches that he's going to have to step up. He's probably going to be on a pitch count, they said, because he has the highest upside to shut down a great Houston lineup for a few innings, but because of the innings pitched and because he's young, they're probably not going to let him go too deep.
Yeah. And plus that bullpen can back him up. They're okay if they go into their bullpen.
No doubt about it. All right, that's hour number one. Still got 2 hours to go on the show. Plenty more to get to. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Coming up with hour number two right around the corner, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.